Let's do it. Let's go to the gambling guru of the universe and a man who is just getting bigger and bigger and getting to be a huge star, our good friend RJ Bell. What's going on, RJ?
Hey, I've lost 5 pounds. What are you talking about?
Good for you.
I wanted to ask you this because it's interesting now with legalization and everything, and you've been ahead of everything for a long time. You built yourself up as the gambling expert. How much is this ratcheted up now that it's for you, now that it's legal in some places?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I was wrong about how much of a change legalization would be. And you know what it's like, right? I'll give you an example. The statute of limitations is up on this. Is when I was in high school, I grew up in a small town. The most eastern part of Ohio you could get, on the river. My house was about 100 yards from the river, Ohio River, about an hour from Pittsburgh. And 4,000 people, zero stoplights. We had a Dairy Queen, but it was only open half a year. So they didn't have an indoor seating. So in the winter, no one was eating ice cream, right? And this was the 80s I was growing up. We would drink in the summer when I was like 15, 16, 80 days out of 90, you know, at least a six pack. That sounds insane, right? I agree. No, don't do it, kids. But that was just normal. So if someone showed up and was drinking, we'd look at it and shrug, right? It was the culture. Well, for me, I've been in Vegas 21 years now, and the culture here is you bet sports. So whatever taboo there was, and, you know, and I've done a lot of media, and before legalization, a lot of media, and it was always embraced. I didn't go on shows, and it was like, ew, we're talking to some Vegas guy. I mean, it wasn't like that at all. I mean, it was, you know, it was more like that. You know, it was more like...
We're talking about the one and only RJ Bell.
It was love. And to me, I never really felt the taboo. But what I didn't really realize was the billion-dollar companies. They felt the taboo. And what we've seen was once that taboo or the legal side was removed, the gray area of sports betting, the big boys said, gimme, gimme, gimme. So what we're seeing is advertisers. I know Texas, it's a struggle because you know, this likelihood with the state is not great, I don't think, of being one of the states. But in Jersey, you know, I do New York ESPN. Now, think about this. Last year, I didn't do any New York ESPN. You know, I'm a Fox national host. And during the football season, I was on with Michael Kay at 4:45 Eastern. So drive time Friday with Michael Kay, all right? Or drive time Thursday with Michael Kay. Then I was at noon. Their noon guest on the noonday show was me, 20 minutes. And then Saturday on ESPN New York, they were doing 11 to 12, an hour where I was with Dave Rothenberg Saturday morning, leading into the noontime college football games. We would talk NFL, but, it, you know, that was when it was. Now, why am I making that point? Why was that? Because New Jersey was legalized, and ESPN New York was making tens of thousands of dollars, you know, a week or whatever it was, big money, because all the different casinos and sports books were competing to try to be on this huge station. So to me, if it's going to be TV shows, if it's going to be more radio shows, whatever, and SB Nation has a show, you know, now and on their national network that you guys are associated with. And to me, it's just more and more. Why? It's going to be analogous to the poker boom. I thought some of those poker shows were great, specifically high-stakes poker. For the youngsters that weren't around 10 years ago when it was booming, go on YouTube and look up high-stakes poker. It was some great TV. Fred, you're a poker guy. Did you enjoy that show?
Oh, yeah. I still watch any poker on TV even now, but it's not
really
the same. Because yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll watch every Monday night. There's one on, I think, on CBS Sports Network that I watch, and I still can't get enough of it.
To me, I thought a lot of those shows were bad, and some were good, but the reason they were all on was because the Full Tilts of the world, the Party Pokers, whoever, were anchor sponsoring. If you go into ESPN and say, hey, I'll spend X million of or FS1, whatever, I'll spend X millions of dollars as a sportsbook or poker to anchor sponsor this show. Now, they've got their production costs covered. They got everything covered. As long as the show gets decent ratings, it's a win for them. So I see the same thing happening with sports betting that happened with poker, whereas the money is going to drive the media. And to me, that's exciting.
Well, you mentioned that SB Nation has a show on, and you pretty much Twitter murdered a guy this week, which I found hilarious. off the Darren Revell thing. How the hell did that come about?
Well, I think this is important. You know, I've actually just moved my mic up a little bit. How's my level now, Fred? Pretty good?
Okay, it's better. Yeah. Yeah.
You like it now?
It's always hard for us when we're on location. So, what's that?
Should it go up more, or is it good?
No, that's good right there.
Okay, cool. Listen, Fred, you follow me for on Twitter for a long time. And, you know,
his Twitter handle is at RJ in Vegas.
Why does Stephen A. keep jumping in? I mean, we're friends and all, but it's kind of weird.
He wants to be on a good show for a change.
Oh, come on. Hey, Fred, come on. Come on. I saw a meme on Twitter today. They said everyone's critiquing Stephen A., and here he is. And they had, like, Donald Duck walking, counting money or something. It was pretty funny.
He is telling you about what a great running quarterback Dwayne Haskins is and how he's going to struggle to throw at the next level.
You know something, though, A.J., and this is a great time to talk about it. AJ's a budding star in our little ecosystem. You know, pregame.com, obviously we do a lot of fun stuff. Podcasts are one of them. AJ and Brad Powers, who's a staple on this show on Thursdays, are doing a twice a week deep dive. And the love AJ is getting, I don't want to say surprising, but surprising. I mean, just even Brad was saying, man, AJ knows those players like nobody's business. So kudos, man. But
thanks,
AJ,
sir.
You know this. It's not about that for the media. It is for betting, right? If you understand that, the power forward is out for Team X, but you know the backup started last year and was the best player on this Division II team. So I think the drop off is going to be modest, but everyone else thinks it's big. That's how you win at sports betting. But it's not entertaining. Have you ever heard an old time, you know, any of these old Vegas shows? I call them rundown shows. It's like, next up, Wichita State against Old Dominion. Like, who's listening? Right? So Stephen A is not a master of every player. Stephen A is a master storyteller. And that's what this media is. It's not
it
about
is,
expertise.
But it's also about knowing what your lane is. I mean, who goes on a radio show? Like, I don't want to sound stupid. I know you don't want to sound stupid. I feel like at some point there's a personal pride in saying, you know what? I don't know enough about this particular subject to throw myself out there into it, because it ends up looking bad when you do that.
How many hours? Do you guys have 3 or 4 hours?
3 hours.
Okay. How many hours? That's a lot, by the way. How many, meaning that kudos. I would struggle with that on radio. I could do 3 hours of podcast because I tell a lot of stories about the Sopranos or whatever. But to actually have to keep, and again, let's be candid. You guys are more podcasty, I think, than most radio shows, which I like in general. And I think you probably have more dedicated listeners that listen to the whole show than most shows. But national radio especially, every segment has to be high energy. I mean, Colin Cowherd has 40 people working on his show. Now, some of it's on the TV side. But listen, if you're going to do 3 hours of high energy a day, meaning no fluff, no stories about Fred's fried chicken or now that he's eating healthy, that he turned down the fried chicken. That's not what national radio typically is about. Stephen A. is doing 2 hours of television a day. Then he's doing Sports Center hits. He's doing a crossover with Get Up for, you know, segments. And he does a 2-hour radio show. And I was on Snapchat, which I'm not an expert at, but I've been playing with a little bit. And I saw Stephen A. do a 12-minute take on the draft when he was waiting to go on Sports Center. It was just a little selfie 12-minute. If you talk for, I don't know, 30 hours a week, you're going to say some stupid stuff if it's all recorded. And I'm guessing with you guys, even with 15 hours a week, if I listened to every word and fact-checked it, there'd be some mistakes in there, wouldn't you say?
There would be less because – and here's why. Because, I mean, at least me personally, I'm very conscious of what I'm talking about. And if it's a subject that I'm not knowledgeable in, I'll sit back. And I just don't pretend
but
to know things.
But he's the star,
that,
AJ. How does Stephen A. sit back? Meaning, could you imagine?
How about this? How about just admit, you know what? Or maybe in your production meetings, admit, hey, I don't really know much about this. Maybe we shouldn't bring this up on the show.
But if it's a lead story, can you imagine it's kind of one of the two or three big sports stories you tune in to First Take? And let's be honest, a lot of people tune in.
Then you know what?
And you
quickly
tune in to
pull
First
up
Take
a draft profile on Dwayne Haskins and figure out the basics about what he is. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to Stephen A. Smith, he's probably got 40 people working on his show. One of them can do a Google search and print you out Dwayne Haskins' stats from the last 2 years.
Yeah. Listen, I really respect you, AJ, and I think you're a very bright fellow. I think this is like people that watch Jeopardy and think, oh, my gosh, I could beat Jeopardy. You know, I could compete. Because anytime they got the answer half right in their head, that's a win. That's right for them. But if you ever notice on Jeopardy, everyone's hitting the button almost every answer. So it's like it's just a split second is what's happening. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in a bar sitting there critiquing you guys, not having any idea what it's like to do a 3-hour radio show. And I think Stephen A., this will be the last thing I say about it. The level of difficulty of what Stephen A. does in a week is unmatched in sports media. No one has the workload that Stephen A. does. If he's going to be a little thin in a spot or two, let me ask you, AJ, honest question. If somehow, some way, I was the decider of the universe, the CEO of the universe, and I decided to put you into Stephen A.'s slot, wherever Stephen A. is, you are, and you get paid the $7 million or whatever he makes a year, what do you think the ratings are in 6 months, up, down, or flat?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I would translate to something like that. But I do
so
know
you
that
think it's very, so what AJ's telling the Houston area is you think that there's at least a 50% chance you could keep or increase Stephen A's ratings.
I mean, I don't have the brand that Stephen A does, but Stephen A at some point had to start out.
Well, he didn't have a brand either until he became Stephen A.
Yeah, so you're asking me, am I gonna if I show up on national television and radio tomorrow without any building of my brand on that level,
okay,
am I gonna have
Good point. 3 years from now. So meaning you start now, no one cares about the ratings, but 3 years from now, what's your ratings?
Well, here's the deal. Like for me, there's things that I'm not great with. So if they put me on the NBA coverage that Stephen A. Smith's on, I don't think I would do well. So I would probably lose credibility trying to be an NBA expert because that's not what I am. But I'm also smart enough to know that I'm not an NBA expert. Whereas Stephen A. Smith going up on ESPN's UFC coverage and pretending like he knows something about it, it makes him look bad. I'd rather just stay in my lane of the things that I'm comfortable talking about.
But what is the consequence of Stephen A., quote-unquote, looking bad, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think you lose credibility at some point.
And, so what's the consequence?
So, well, the consequence is I say he looks like a dummy.
Guys like you are harping on him?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He still makes his $7 million, and
so
good
not,
for him.
So you're saying no consequence?
Clearly not, because that's what pays the big bucks in radio now is just making things up as you go. Ask Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless has made himself a hell of a career of just saying whatever he thinks will get some attention.
Now, do you think Skip Bayless and I have never met Skip. I've never been on air with Skip. I have zero investment with Skip. Stephen A's always been good to me personally, so I do have an investment with him. So, you know, full disclosure. But my understanding is Skip Bayless at ESPN especially, and that maybe it's changed now, I don't know, but let's say maybe, that he was the best prepared guy at the network. That if it was debate, that maybe you would disagree with his takes, but he was well-informed. Now, do you think that was the case?
I've never worked with him, but I'm just saying that that's a
well,
guy
you never
who...
never worked with Stephen A. either.
No, I've not worked with Stephen A., but I mean... Would I say that I feel like Skip Bayless is more prepared typically than Stephen A.? I would say yes. Do I think that Stephen A. says less crazy things than Skip Bayless? Yes. I mean, I think they're similar but also different in the ways that they drive me crazy.
And here's the thing, and I really believe this is a teaching moment for all the kids. AJ is a prime example of what to avoid. AJ is wishing, trying to will the world to be the way he wants it to be. He wants it to be where depth of knowledge matters, the knowing the point guard on Creighton matters. And there is a world that it matters. The fantasy sports, there's all kind of little niche things that AJ could do that all that depth of knowledge matters. But he wants to be a big-time radio host. And, oh, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, you guys, this show won, is it, what is it, 11 out of 12 months last year? Did I hear that right?
Yes, sir.
You guys are the biggest drive time show in Houston for sports. Congratulations. That's what AJ wants. But then he wants to have that kind of pay. He wants to have that kind of notoriety. But then he wants the world to be different. It's not, dude. It's about presentation. It's about excitement. It's about drama. I'll tell you this right now. Go look on YouTube and search up MIT, you know, in any topic. Or
RJ,
Harvard or Stanford.
I understand.
I apologize. I do want to get this one point out.
Okay.
There are, and thank you. You guys always let me have my say, so thank you. There's PhD level dissertations on any topic you want on YouTube. I mean, literally, no one's watching those. They're rewatching a Jerry Springer or whatever when someone said, you want to meet me outside or whatever it is, right? So I get we want the world to be a certain way, but whenever money's involved, you got to look squarely in the eye the way the world is. And it's the Stephen A's style of media is what works.
Okay, here's what I'll tell you. I've built my entire radio career on the belief that talking about X's and O's is not going to draw an audience. I've built my career on being an entertainer. But at the same time, if I'm asked to talk about something in a way that is going to present me as someone who knows what I'm talking about, I'm at least going to study up on that so I know what I'm talking about, because I don't want to put myself out there and look like a dummy. Like, I believe entertainment is the key. That's the key. But you also, once you're in that position as an entertainer, but you're basically working for a network that is going to try to present you as an expert in some field, you need to know what you're talking about. If we brought you on the show and said, here's RJ Bell, a gambling expert, and really you had no idea what you were talking about with Vegas. Let's say you actually live in Montana.
Well, this is a good segue to Darren Ravel.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's where this started.
Darren Ravel, who's a big star, look at his Twitter numbers. That's a big star. But if he presents himself as a gambling expert, he can often come off looking stupid. You would agree, I suppose.
Well, yes. I explicitly, in this case, last thing I'll say about the prior conversation is that, let me ask you this. Let's agree to the following. And I think it's about workload, meaning if Stephen A. had four less hours on air a week that he could do more research, each of those hours would probably be better. But ESPN is making a multiple million-dollar calculation. They'd rather him on air more, even if he's a little less prepared. So let's agree.
But with that many people working
ideal.
With you, I mean, they're counting on those.
So what
people
else? What could it be, AJ? That he's not intelligent? Stephen A. is a brilliant person.
No, I think he's a really smart guy.
He can't do what he does and not be brilliant.
I don't disagree with that, but I do think that he could make it more. I think he could make it. He could be lazy. He could be saying, "You know
how
what? I can probably."
He's the hardest working man in sports media.
No,
lazy. He's flying to NBA games. He's doing radio. I mean, he a guy this big doing a 2-hour radio show is absurd. He just
okay.
And again, maybe,
we'll agree
maybe
to disagree because you think workload equals hard work, and that's where we differ. Having a big workload is different than being the hardest working guy.
Last question is how many – let's agree to the following. Is his prep could be better in some spots. I don't blame him, but fine. And he's a great storyteller. He's great at presentation. In the last 12 months, when you've mentioned Stephen A., not with me, but all of your mentions on air, what percentage of the time have you given him credit for being a great storyteller? And what percentage of the time have you criticized them for being less than ideally prepared?
It's probably 95.5.
Why do you think that is?
Because that's what's interesting.
It's not interesting hates on Stephen A.
RJ, how many times have I talked about Jason Witten being on air in a positive, like the Monday Night Football broadcast? If they had a good game, would I come in the next day and say, hey, they actually didn't suck completely this week? No. Instead, we focus on the other 15 weeks where they were horrible, because that's what the overriding storyline proves.
But in this case, it's not an overriding storyline that he's unprepared. There's two storylines. Sometimes he's not greatly prepared, and all the time he's a great personality. All right,
that's
we'll
fair.
Agree to disagree.
I think you're both missing the point here. RJ, I think you made the point when you said ESPN has him doing all this stuff. He's spread too thin to be effective at everything. You're going to have things where you cut corners. That's on him for taking those things. That's on ESPN for using them all those things. Nobody's good enough
to do that.
I
don't disagree with that. I think what RJ's saying is the workload is so great. If I were in Stephen A. Smith's shoes, I'd say, you know what? Pay me $6.5 million and cut back my workload so I can give you good work instead of half-assed work.
And what happens if they say no?
What are they going to do, fire him?
No, they're going to say Fox
will pay him more. Yeah. those guys get paid. That's the reality of it.
Speaking of getting paid, Darren Revelle.
Yeah, let's get
million,
to this.
2 million Twitter followers. Let's tip a hat. I mean, there's no one in the world that can tweet as much about the number of calories in a hot dog at Dodger Stadium. And, you know, opening up old Topps baseball cards, doing salary projections from 1954 to now. I mean, listen, I sound a little snarky here because I'm doing it for effect. But the guy is the best at what he does, which is inane little, you know, factoids on the internet. And he's gotten paid literally millions of dollars for that over his career. Kudos. I can't compete with him at that. But, you know, I don't know if everyone knows the full story, but the whispers are, and I'll just say I don't know, allegedly, ESPN didn't want to re-up him. It wasn't a bidding war. You didn't hear about a bidding war for Darren Revelle, did you?
No. I doubt there was one.
His style of internet is kind of going by the wayside. To me, it's analogous to the clickbait. You know, like, you won't believe what the Brady Bunch, you know, what Jan looks like now. You know, that kind of stuff you see on websites, that's dying, right? So he decides to go to a gambling website. Now, to me, this is closing the circle of our first discussion. There's a lot of money in sports betting right now. I have zero problem if someone shows up and says, listen, guys, I'm not a bettor. I've made bets, but I'm not a bettor. It's not in my bones. But you know something? I can cover an industry really well. I've covered this industry. I've covered that. I'm coming in with fresh eyes. I'm going to learn. And I want to really be kind of the gadfly of the industry, as in, oh, not even the gadfly. That's not the right word. I want to be the neophyte, the person that doesn't understand gambling, but I'm here reporting on it, and we're all going to have some fun. That'd be awesome. But instead, and I think most people that know Darren Revelle in any way, you know, consuming his content, he's an ego guy. He doesn't seem to take any criticism well. So in the Super Bowl, he tweets out. Now, Fred, let me ask you a quick question. You followed me, what, on Twitter probably 4 or 5 years now, right?
Yeah, longer than that, I think.
Okay. How many times have you seen me in my feed where I'm the one initiating it, you know, out into the main feed, be critical of anybody?
I don't think I've ever seen you go after anyone like that unless they did something first.
And if they go do something first, I never do it in my main feed. When I put that ninth punch in their ear and they never recover when I counterpunch, I am a little vindictive. I can't lie. I'm not sure Brent Musburger's recovered, but he came at me first.
Right. He's an older gentleman, RJ. He's an older gentleman.
Exactly.
Yeah, Matt Perrault's not ever going to recover either.
Yes, that was sad. And I was in between with Revelle. I was with one hand. So,
I feel like he was almost coming to back you, and you just swatted him away with your backhand.
No, he was being snide. He was being snide. So No, what he did was he retweeted. I never heard of the guy, but he retweeted and said, Darren Revelle versus RJ Bell. I wonder who I should root for. Implying like we're two versions of evil or something, right? So like we're both distasteful. Do you want to eat like old fish or dirt? That's what he was trying to say, something like that.
All right.
Yeah. So I took care of that. But the fact of the matter is I do get vindictive because I figure if you're going to put him down, put him down. But if you don't punch me first, I'm fine, man. I just want to do my business. So I look at Revelle and he tweets out, oh, the so-and-so was the first song. I don't even know what song it was. And it was a 9-1. Oh, go ahead.
I think it was Moves Like Jagger. I don't know if that's exactly, but I think that's what it was.
Yeah, well, I like Mick Jagger, but maybe not. I don't know. So he goes, yep, 9-1. He goes, I knew it, but I didn't tell any of my degenerate friends. Ha, ha, ha. It's like I read that, and I'm like, this guy has never been a gambler in his life. It's like you hate the bookies are bad. I actually have a drop with Nick Nolte going, cockroaches. They are, to me, bookies literally are cockroaches. And the idea that you wouldn't tell your buddies, to me, your coworkers, if you had inside information, though ironically, an hour before I had inside information on the national anthem, I waited until a time where I felt like the most people could get down on it when the bookies wouldn't be able to react and pull it off the board. And I tweeted it out because I had someone who knew somebody that was at the rehearsal. And literally, I got more love. I said it was going to be 2 minutes exactly based on the rehearsal. It was 2:01. I got more love than I've ever gotten. It was like, RJ, thanks for sharing. That's what we do as sports bettors. And that's my job in the media. Darren Revelle, I get it. If you got in there somehow and if you told people you knew it would be found out and all that, how you got in the rehearsal, I get it. Just shut up. But to brag, he just can't stop bragging. To brag that he was there. To brag that he knew.
To 2 million people.
And then to brag he didn't even tell his friends. I said, you know, Darren, you are such a tourist. You don't get this at all. That was my general take. Well, he tried to ignore it. But listen, I got over 180,000 followers. It's not 2 million, but it's a lot of people. They were just killing him. I mean, it was like sticking him like a, I don't even know. I don't want to be too, you know, explain too much. But he was hurting. So the next morning he replies, well, actually, I was there with my wife. And it was a special moment between us. And a friend of mine got us in, and I didn't want to expose him.
Yeah.
So now think about this a second. One, he never mentioned his wife. So, hey, if it was a special moment, yeah, salute. Great. Okay.
That guy has a wife.
Here's the real part. If you didn't want to expose your friend, why expose him now defending yourself? I mean, you could have had all your followers benefit from your information. Now, a lot of people might say, oh, RJ, they would have taken it off the board. No, yeah, it would have been bet down. Finally, they would have taken it off the board. And there might have been hundreds of thousands of dollars of winners his followers could have benefited from. But he wouldn't expose his friend for that. But he had to brag. And then he exposed his friend defending my one tweet instead of saying, you know, you're right, RJ. I don't get gamblers as much, but I'm here covering the industry. Let's work together. So then he blocked me. And did something on Twitter, I don't know how the deletes work fully, where you couldn't see what I retweeted. Because my response to him initially retweeted his. He did some action that made it so it said, tweet unavailable. So he's followed me for 10 years. I'll be candid. He's taken a lot of my stuff, tweaked it just a little bit, and put it out without attribution. And now he's going to block me because I made one critical comment? He's a tourist.
He is. And it's the first line on his bio, business of sports betting. Yep. Real deep in it.
RJ, we gotta cut it off, buddy.
What's that?
Hey, guys. Last thing. I know you got to run, Fred. What did you think? I mean, how did he come off?
I just think that's one of those things you keep to yourself. If you did have it and you were going to keep it to yourself, don't brag after the fact that I could have helped you guys out, but no, not me. It's a douchebag move.
Yeah, I agree. I'm team RJ on this one.
All right, baby. Talk to you next week.